Amen. Wasn't that awesome? I was just kind of in awe this morning about what God's doing now and in this church and for our young people. And I was kind of, I want to give a shout out to the worship team this morning because they always do an awesome job. And Sonia does a great job leading the worship team. But let me tell you what really stuck out to me this morning was that awesome drummer we had. Amen. Amen. God's awesome. He raises them up young. And parents, whatever you do, don't stand in your kids' way. If they want to play something, if God's gifted them in an area of ministry to serve him, let them do it. Support them. Encourage them. Pray for them. Amen. Lift them up to the Lord daily because God's an awesome God, and he'll only increase that talent and make them better for doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning. I remember back when Stockholders was going on, I was here for that service. And in fact, I was kind of glad they had it during the church service because that's the first one I'd ever been to and the only time I've been coming to this church. But I remember Pastor standing up here saying, you know, the youth are going to take over and the youth need to take over. And that's true. So I'm here. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, but seriously, no, really. I mean, our youth they're phenomenal. They're awesome. And I love the spirit that our youth have. You know, and I watch so many of them, and they're not swayed by things going on in the world. And probably the strongest group of young people that I've seen in a church in a long time. And I want to encourage our young people to continue to do just that. Praise the Lord through all things. In fact, I chose my message this morning. God's kind of laid it on my heart for a while. And so I kind of was thinking about it and dwelling. It's been months and months and months that God's put it on my heart and just really couldn't shake it. I'm thinking, Lord, what is it you want me to share about this message? And so being in prayer and thinking about it, I just allowed God to speak to me and say, you know, here's what I want you to do. You know, we look at the book of Job, and I think everybody knows Job's story. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's probably people out there that probably aren't really Christians that have sometime in their life probably heard the story of Job. There's a lot of things that you can pull out of that story, a lot of things. The thing that I want to focus on this morning, I'm going to highlight a little bit, touch a little bit about Job's story, but the thing that I really feel that God wants me to share with you this morning about that story of Job is not so much what Job went through, what he suffered, and believe me, this is a man that has had everything thrown at him. We've gone through a lot of things in our life. We've had some tests, some trials, and let's just say the devil's pushed our buttons a few times. But I don't think that I can put my life up against Job's and say that I've had it that bad. And I thank God for that. I praise God for the life that he's given me. You know, in a perfect world, what if we never had any problems? We just get up in the morning, go on our way, have a perfect day. Everything would happen just the way we feel it should happen. But I don't think it's meant to be that way. Because without those other situations that we are faced with in our life, how would we grow? How would we know to trust in God? We would just take for granted that everything was just going to be fine. That's not how God intended it to be. He wants us to believe in him, to trust in him, to exercise our faith in him, to know that without a doubt, God's in control. How many can honestly say, you don't have to lift your hands, but how many can honestly say yourself this morning that through every situation that you faced in your life, you've totally given it over to God, you never stepped in, never interfered, never tried to handle it yourself, always went right to God right off the bat, first thing, didn't save God till the very last thing when nothing else worked. Anybody here ever done that? I think in for the most part, I myself personally can say that I've probably played that role in reverse a few times. Kind of late, saved God for last, because you just, you know, part of the thing is, well, you know, I think I can do this. I, you know, don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand, you know, the situations, the problems that I'm facing in my life. But, I think I got this. I think I can do this, and I think I can get through it. Then things happen and begin to escalate a little bit. And just because of, a lot of times I believe it's because of the involvement that we've put into it ourselves and interfered with what God's wanting to do. So we've prolonged what God's really wanted to show us in the first place. So with all that being said, Job has faced a lot of things in his life. But what I want to focus on this morning is the conversation between Satan and God. See, Job had no idea why he was going through what he went through. And I think every one of us have gone through situations, and the first thing we do is we begin to question why. Why I'm going through it, what's going on, what's happened, and God, why me, and all those things. And then we have those people that come along and try to justify why we're facing those situations. Job had friends like that too. Tried to find a reason. Well, it must be because you're proud. You're too proud to, you know, to just cut the losses and cut where you're at and just move on. You know, even Job's wife, we know the story, and Job's wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? And I think we can pull all kinds of things out of that as well. And I think, like any loving wife or husband, I think part of the problem is her heart was breaking and hurting because he was sitting in so much pain and has gone through so much stuff. You know, why don't you just get it over with? And Job wouldn't do it. He stood on his faith and he believed that God was in control. He would not be shaken. And a lot of times that we're shaken by little things, and he faced it all. So I want to focus on the conversation this morning a little bit. God has not called us to wealth. He's not called us to greatness. But what he's called us to is faithfulness. Let me share that again. God has not called us to wealth or greatness, but he has called us to faithfulness. If we can be faithful in all things, situations, and in circumstances, we will honor God, whom we owe everything to. I owe God my life. I had a life before God, but it wasn't the life that God wanted for me. The life I have now, I owe to him. I say thank you, Jesus, every day of my life, because God has just been such a blessing in my life, and he has blessed me. He has blessed me, but it hasn't been without some bumps in the road. And I thank God for that. But we will honor him who we owe everything. God is our life. He should be our life. But I want to dig into the text for a little bit this morning. I'm not going to go through the whole first chapter because, again, it's not necessarily about what Job had gone through, but it's about the conversation that I want to highlight this morning. But in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Hey, amen. That sounds pretty easy. Sounds real simple until something happens in our life. Then somehow that kind of trickles to the back of our mind, and we forget about the whole scripture that tells us to seek first, not last. It doesn't say seek last his kingdom and his righteousness. It says seek him first. We just have this habit in the flesh that we kind of want to take the long way around to get to where God wants to take us. It's kind of one of those inherited traits, I guess, because the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't have to do that either, I believe. I believe if they would just listen to God and heard God's voice and didn't become proudful or didn't become all of those things and hinder God's work, And we do. We hinder God's work in our life sometimes. But in Job chapter 1, here's what the Word of God says. You want to bring it up there? Mine's an application version. It's a little different than this one. It says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. There's a lot to be said right in that first verse. Then the question comes to mind, well, why did he have to go through so much? If he feared God, he was blameless, upright, he had everything. But when reading the book of Job, we have information which the characters of the story do not. Job, of course, being the main character, loses all he has through no fault of his own. As he struggles to understand why all this is happening to him, it becomes clear that he is not meant to know the reasons. So, while you're going through some of the situations that we sometimes or oftentimes go through in our lives, we want to know why. God, why? We don't always need to know. And we're not always going to know. Because God has a plan. He's working that plan. But the true test really is, how faithful are we going to be? Are we going to hold on to Him? Are we going to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? We must experience life as Job did, one day at a time and without complete answers to all of life's questions. I don't know all the answers. And you don't know all the answers. A lot of information in this room. Everybody in this room probably knows something more than somebody else. We all know different things. We all have knowledge of different things in our life, which when you bring that all together, there's a whole lot of information sitting in this room. But I, with all that information, with what I know, I can't tell you why you're going through the things that you go through. Pastor can't always tell you why you're going through the things you're going through. Young people, Jesse can't always tell you why you're going through the things that you're going through. But what we can do, we can encourage you through the Word of God. Tell you to hold on tight to what God has in store. See, He sees the big picture. God sees an ending. We just see a situation or a circumstance in our life that we're not sure why, where it's going, how we're going to get out of it. God sees it all. He knows exactly where we're headed. As we see calamity and suffering in the book of Job, we must remember that we live in a fallen world and where good behavior is not always rewarded and bad behavior is not always punished. We know that's true, don't we? When we see a notorious criminal prospering or an innocent child in pain, we say, that's wrong. And it is. But sin has twisted justice and made our world unpredictable and ugly. I remember a situation in my life years and years and years and years ago, way back in the early 80s, 81, 82, something like that. I was doing everything I could at the time to try to serve the Lord to the best of my knowledge, the best of my ability. Of course, I was only doing what I know. I didn't know about God what I know now. But I knew it was important to have God in my life. You know, and I worked with guys that didn't serve the Lord and live the way they wanted to live, but I see them prospering, and you know, and I'm without a job, and I'm asking myself, well, God, why? Why is it that I'm doing everything I can do to try to serve you, but then I see all these people that don't even love you, don't even know anything about you, that aren't trying to serve you, they're just living in the world, and they're getting all these things? I couldn't understand that until God told me it's not about the things. It's about me. You need to trust me because I've got better things in store for you. We're going to take your life somewhere. There's a promise that I have for you that I'm going to deliver on if you just remain faithful to me. Even though I struggled with that, I couldn't understand it. I didn't know where it was going, but God's been faithful. That's a lot of years ago. I can look back and see where I've come from to where I am today. Blessed and honored to be able to be on this platform this morning, be able to share with you the Word of God, the most powerful unit that we have that can conquer whatever we face in our life. It gives us hope, gives us strength, gives us confidence, gives us healing, gives us everything that we'll ever need in our life. All in the name of Jesus. The book of Job shows a good man suffering for no apparent reason. Sadly, our world is like that, but Job's story does not end in despair. Through Job's life, we can see that faith in God is justified. Even when our situations look hopeless, faith based on rewards or prosperity is hollow. To be unshakable, faith must be built on the confidence that God's ultimate purpose will come to pass. Amen. That's awesome. I don't know if that gets a hold of you, but that gets a hold of me. Trust in Him, His ultimate purpose. Each one of us have, God has an ultimate purpose for each one of our lives. And if we hold on to His promise and we are faithful, we're going to see that ultimate purpose take place in our life. People are watching us, believe it or not. Because I don't know how many situations that I've experienced over the course of my life. You know, you fall into a situation, a circumstance, tough times, whatever. I've had people tell me this, and maybe you have too. Come up to me and say, well, I thought you were a Christian. Where's God now? And I think, what can I say about that? What should I say about that? Because sometimes we question where we are spiritually in our life. But that's because we didn't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're going off of our own strength, which is nothing compared to what God has for us. He has the ultimate power and strength for our lives. Job was called a good man because he feared God. He respected, worshipped, and obeyed Him. He was also called good because he stayed away from evil. He did not allow sin to creep into his life or temptations to overcome him. Being a good person is more than obeying God's laws. It requires the above characteristics. You can't just be a good person and have all that God has for you. That should have got me an amen. Just being a good person doesn't get you everything that God has for you. And here's one more thing I need to add to that. Just being a good person doesn't get you in heaven. It says every year when Job's sons had birthdays, they invited their brothers and sisters to their homes for a celebration. On these occasions, they would eat and drink with great merriment. When these birthday parties ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would summon his children to him and sanctify them, getting up early in the morning and offering a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and turned away from God in their hearts." This was Job's regular practice. Because back in Job's day, during Job's day, the father was the family's religious leader, which that hasn't changed. Father, you should be the family's spiritual leader. That should have got me another amen, but that's okay. Because there were no priests to instruct him in God's laws, Job acted as a priest and offered sacrifices to God, as sacrifices to God, to ask for forgiveness for sins he and his family may have committed. Job did this out of conviction and love for God, not just because it was his role as head of the house. In the same regards today, moms, dads, we're heads of the home. We need to be the spiritual leader in our home. We need to set the standard. What's God want for my family? He should be sharing that with you. He should be speaking that to you, what your role is in that home, where that standard should be. It shouldn't be down here, just give them freedom to come and go as they want, to church or not to go to church. It ought to be a rule. Dad, set the standard for your rules in the house. What does God's word say? We are responsible to raise up our children in the way that they should go. So we need to be in the word of God ourselves and know exactly what it is that God would have us to do. We need to pray for our children. We need to encourage our children. We need to set them straight every once in a while. You know, sometimes the thing, well, I'm 17, I'm 16, I'm 15. What does that mean? It means you're still in my house and it doesn't matter. Amen? It's about God's will for our lives. See, as parents, we only have a short window of time to be able to develop that into our family, to set those standards, to instill that in their minds and in their hearts to say, you know what, I need to get up, I need to go to church because I love God, because I want to be faithful to Him, I want to be obedient to God, I want to know what God has planned for me in my life. And a lot of kids can't wait to get out of the house because they want to be able to be free. Well, if that's free, I don't want any part of free. Amen? I want what God wants for me. And that is free because He freely gave His life. Jesus freely gave His life so that we can have that freedom, freedom to choose. We don't necessarily live in a world today that allows us to have that freedom to worship. And I feel that we're in a crucial time in our life. This might be the last one that we get. That's just my opinion. It's not, I'm not being prophetic or anything, but it's just my opinion that I think for so many years, Christians have been afraid to stand up and speak about Jesus and invite people to church or to talk about God for fear of being ridiculed, persecuted, shut down, or called names, or whatever it is that we're afraid of. But I believe that Christianity has been given a breath of fresh air. I believe that now is the time, again, that we need to stand up. We need to take our place as Christians. We need to begin to live according to the Word of God. We need to, in order to see the world grow and develop and prosper, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of turmoil going on in just in our own community. Amen? And we, as Christians, as children and followers of God, have a responsibility to be a part of ministering into those people. Doesn't matter what your role is. I mean, you may be good at speaking. You may be just good, a good servant, just doing nice things for people. But people, I guarantee you, people are watching your life. They're looking for you to fall. They're looking for you to fail. They're looking for you to stumble so they can say, you're supposed to be a Christian. Thank God for His grace. Thank God that we can just go to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. We should be doing that every single day when we lay down our heads at night. And just because, you know, I don't remember everything I do or say throughout the day. 24 hours is a long time, especially when you get to be my age, but it goes pretty fast. So I probably forget more than I remember throughout that period of time. But at the end of the day, I want to know that I'm in good standing with my Maker. with the one who set me free, with the one who has authority, and I've given complete and total authority in my life. I want to know that we're good. It's important to me. So I say, Lord, if there's anything that I may have done today that has offended you, or maybe I may have failed to speak into somebody's life that you placed in my life for a reason that I don't know, Lord, forgive me. Help me to do better. Help me to be more receptive to your voice. Help me to be more responsive to your direction in my life, because I want to feed into as many lives as I can while I have the opportunity. Because I serve a good God. One day, as the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan, the accuser, came with them. Interesting. When I read that, I thought, wow, what's going on here? Satan will try to hinder God's work in people. Here's Satan's impression of Job. Of course, God's the one that pointed it out. And I thought about this. I'm thinking, Job, that poor soul. But then I thought, wait a minute. What an honor. What an honor that God himself would say, hey, have you considered my son Job? He's a good man. He's a model citizen. He's a model father. He does everything right. He stays away from evil. He doesn't sin. He takes care of his family. The devil's thought was, you know, but you've given him everything. You pay him pretty well. Of course he is. He's not going to curse you because he's got everything he needs. He's got wealth. Got a good family. He's just got everything. But I thought about what an honor that it must be. If Job would have known going into it, I don't know what difference the story would have been. I don't know if Job would have responded any differently. But he had no idea that God pointed him out. Go ahead. Go ahead. Consider my son Job. If you think he's going to curse me and not serve me, turns back on me, go ahead. Go for it. Just don't harm him. Take everything he has. Job stood strong. We would have lost one thing probably and thought, oh my goodness. We would have been down in the dumps. We'd have been telling everybody about our troubles and how terrible it is and how bad we feel. And, you know, and I don't think there would have been any conversation that would have had God in the conversation and what an awesome God he is. We get so caught up in our trouble and our problems and our situations that we want everybody just to know about it and feel sorry for us. But really what we need to do is just to give glory to God. I don't understand God. I don't know what it is you're trying to teach me through this situation. But I know you've got it under control. Help me to be strong. Help me to walk through this to the best of my ability, Lord, and I will praise you from the beginning of it till the end of it. Job had no idea that those things that he lost, that he was ever going to get back. He just knew that God was the man. He was going to serve God. Satan tries to hinder God's work. From the conversation that we read, you know, in this conversation, not only went on once, but it went on twice. Satan wasn't satisfied just to take everything that Job had. He's, oh, we got to get him a little bit more. I'm going to get him to do it. I'm going to get him to do it. See, God understood what Satan's motives were. He knew what his intentions were. Didn't come by surprise. They said, just, you know, you've, he, okay, so he, so he's still praising you, Lord. I get it. But just take away a little bit. Just let me attack his body a little bit. Let me put some hurt on him, and we'll see. You'll see. He's gonna turn his back on you. He'll curse you. He will. Yeah, whatever. Okay, go ahead. Just don't take his life. He's pulled everything off except he protected his life. So now this guy's limit for the Satan. And Job's awesome because he never failed. Even he didn't even allow his friends to sway his thoughts. He never allowed his friends to convince him to do otherwise. He never allowed his wife to talk him into just cursing God and getting it over with. That's the kind of strength I want to have. That's the kind of faith I want to have in God. And I don't know, I wonder, I think when I hear this conversation, I think about, I wonder how many times Satan has gone to God and said, well, just let me do this. Let me, you know, I got an idea that he's not going to continue to serve you. But I wonder how many times God has said, well, have you considered my son Mike? That's a different thought. Instead of thinking about the trouble and the woes and all the heaviness and the weariness and the problems that we're going through in our life, maybe we need to think about, God, how can I make you proud? God, how can I honor you through this situation? Change our thoughts a little bit. Focus on what God intends us to learn. How, what does he want to teach us through those situations? But through that conversation, we learn a great deal about the enemy. First, he's accountable to God. He may be roaming around this earth, wandering around, seeking whom he may devour, but that's all he has, that's all he can do. He can't do anything else. He's accountable to God. Secondly, his thoughts are open to God. God knew Satan's intentions. He knew exactly what his plan was. Thirdly, Satan can only be in one place at a time. He is aided by his demons, but as a created being, he's limited. Fourthly, Satan cannot see into our minds or tell the future. Number five, because Satan can do nothing without God's permission, we, God's people, are overcomers through God's power. We are overcomers through God's power, not our power, because we ain't got it in us. We don't have it in us to be able to be conquerors over anything. It's through Christ Jesus that we have the power to be victorious. Number six, God always puts limitations on what Satan can do. Knowing this should cause us to remain close to the one who's greater, God himself. I don't know about you, but that tells me something. Keep God really, 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 really close. God called Job his servant. This was a great honor, placing Job in the same company as Moses and David, whom God also called servants. Those who are servants of God serve him with their whole lives, not just part of their lives. They put everything about their lives in a big basket and just hand it all over to God and say, God, you take care of that. I trust you. They don't just pick and choose. Their whole life. They're consumed by the presence and the power and the authority of God in their life. Job was a model of trust and obedience to God. Therefore, God permitted Satan to attack him in an especially harsh manner. What I get from that is the fact that that's not the norm. That's not the norm for our lives. I don't know. We've all faced those kind of things. We've all faced tragedies. We've all faced loss of loved ones. We've all faced troubles and bumps in our life. But I don't know if there's anybody in this room that has faced everything that Job has faced. Although God loves us, faith and obedience to Him does not shelter us from the setbacks, tragedies, and sorrows of our life. How do we respond when we go through those situations? We say, oh, woe is me. Why me, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Lord, I just can't take one more situation in my life. Can't you just kind of let up? Or maybe we say, God, will you use me through this situation? God, thank you for allowing me to be taught. See, God's constantly teaching us if we're ready to be taught. Sometimes we skip class that day. God's schooling us all the time if we got an ear to listen. We got our eyes upon Him and our heart is flooded and consumed by His presence. Satan could not deny that Job was a righteous man, so he attacked Job's motives. We need to know and be reminded about an important fact about God. He is aware of every attempt by Satan to bring suffering and difficulty upon our lives. While He may allow us to suffer for a reason beyond our understanding, God is never, never, never caught by surprise by our troubles and is always compassionate towards our situation. Then it's not enough for Satan to come before God once, but in chapter 2 he does it again. And again, God points to Job. How many times has God pointed to you and said, have you considered my son, my daughter, this child, that child? See, God pulled out all the stops, except Satan could not take Job's life. God wouldn't allow it. There's a lot of things God won't allow in your life because He's protecting you. He may pull back a little bit. But you know, God doesn't put anything on us that we can't bear. I want you just to think about some time or some times in your life where you're facing some tough situations in your life. You may have wondered, God, where are you? Or maybe, God, I'm a Christian. This should not be happening to me. I think that's the problem with the world is they think if you say you're a Christian, then life's just smooth every day. Never any troubles, never any problems. The first trouble that comes along, well, then suddenly you're not the Christian that you said you were. They want to judge us. Or maybe you thought God left you altogether and thought maybe you really aren't the Christian that you thought you were. Since we know that in Matthew 5:45 it says that you may not be children of your Father in heaven, or that you may be children of your Father in heaven, He causes His Son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So really the only difference between you and me and somebody who's not serving the Lord is the Lord. They don't have the protection of God. They don't have the covering. They don't have the hope. They don't have the joy. They don't have the strength. They don't have the peace. They don't have the confidence, the understanding to know that God's in control, that he's got it. He's got their back. He's got it under control. He'll take care of the situation, but he's going to do it his way. We want things done our way, but God's going to do it his way. We've got to trust him with that. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. It's easy to praise God when we're feeling good and everything is going fine. And I always said, there's two times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it and when you don't. It's two times to get into the Word of God, when you feel like it and when you don't. It's two times to be in prayer on your knees and on your face before God, when you feel like it and when you don't. We need to continually be aware of our need for Christ in our life. I don't know about you, but I want to be stronger in him. I want to be able to feed God into our community, be able to touch people's lives, be able to encourage them, be able to bring them hope, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Don't just give him thanks for some things, because everything good in your life comes from God. Thank you for everything, even the things that we struggle with in our life, even the challenges we have. We need to honor him. Because he's teaching us. He's developing us. There's nothing that's happening in our life that he hasn't already prepared us for. So what I stumbled on this a few years ago, and I thought, you know, I just don't understand. And then I thought, as I spent some time with the Lord, I said, Lord, I just kind of need some clarity on the confusion in my mind. And he said, I was preparing you back there for what you're going through today, because I wanted you to know that you were going to make it. You're going to be all right. Things are okay. I've already made the way. I've already taken care of it. Now all you got to do is move on. Just keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep holding on to me. Take the faith that you have and trust me and know that everything is going to be just fine. But there may be a time he's going to lift a little bit of his protective hedge from your life. But when it happens, think about that conversation that's going on in heaven between God and the devil, God and Satan, and God saying, have you considered my daughter Carrie? Have you considered my son Jesse? My son Carrie, my daughter Sonia. Have you considered them? Try them on. See what you get. Amen. We need to be who God wants us to be. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I want to address that word rebuke. Be careful. Because sometimes, and I've seen it happen, people in the church, they get this proud spirit and they just know that they're in a better place with God than you are, and so you need to listen to what they have to say. I'm going to tell you that you better get your act together right now, and if you don't, we need to do it in love. We need to have patience. We need to pray for them. We need to teach them. We need to encourage them. We don't need to kick them while they're down. Reach down with a helping hand to help them up. And then teach them along the way. Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like where we live today? See, as Christians, we have a responsibility. We need to infiltrate those groups of people, those teachers that are teaching the wrong things. We need to get God's word out there. It's our responsibility and our duty to do that. Verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So as I prepare to close this morning, I just want to walk through some things that just to highlight and readdress some of the issues. First is the suffering. Suffering can be, but is not always, a penalty for sin. In the same way, prosperity is not always a reward for being good. Those who love God are not exempt from trouble. Although we may not be able to understand fully the pain we experience, it can lead us to rediscover God. We need to rediscover God every single day. Secondly is Satan's attacks upon our life. We must learn to recognize and not fear Satan's attack, because Satan cannot exceed the limits that God sets. Don't let any experience drive a wedge between you and God. Although you can't control how Satan may attack, you can always choose how you will respond when it happens. God's goodness. Although God is present everywhere, at times he may seem far away. Been there. This may cause us to feel alone and to doubt his care for us. We should serve God for who he is, not what we feel. He is never insensitive to our suffering, because God is sufficient. We must hold on to him. It's when it's all over. In Job's situation, he lost everything he had, but he had everything he needed. Pride. We must be careful not to judge others who are suffering. We may be demonstrating the sin of pride. We must be cautious in maintaining the certainty of our own conclusions about how God treats us. When we congratulate ourselves for being right, we become proud. And lastly, trusting. That's what we have to do. We have to trust God. Job showed the kind of trust we are to have. When everything is stripped away, we are to recognize that God is all we really had. We should not demand that God explain everything. God gives us himself, but not all the details of his plans. We must remember that this life, with all its pain, is not our final destiny. Hallelujah. Praise God. They're growing pains. I know life is tough. Sometimes it's hard to look to God first thing, our first response. But if we grasp it as quickly as we can and understand where we are, whose we are, and what the outcome is that we want, we're going to be taken care of. God's got it. We're not going to go through this life without those things, without tragedies, without heartache, without pain, without hurting, without disease. But you know what? God's going to help us through. Got to trust him. Exercise our faith. Believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is in control. Amen. Is he in control of your life this morning? Has God given you everything? Next time you're challenged with something, I want you to think back about a conversation that may have taken place in heaven prior to that. And then I want you to think about, what can I do? What can you do to honor God? To make him proud? Because he's given everything. Given everything for us. I want to make him proud. I don't want to be proud. I want to make God proud. I want him to be everything in my life. Won't you stand with me this morning as we